The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Thursday, September 15th, 2022, season 18, episode number 31. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We're presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. And today we're going to talk about the Cincinnati defense versus the Cowboys offense. Lots to get into there. That's an interesting, very interesting matchup. Before we get to that, though, there was the Mike McCarthy's press conference, which actually caused us to have to start a little late, so we don't appreciate that, Mike. We'll talk about that later. But let's talk about some of the things that he mentioned. Let's start, Nick. Let's talk about Cooper Rush. What were his thoughts on Cooper Rush? The question's really being around, like, how much does the offense change with Cooper in there versus Dak?
Well, I mean, I think we all think it changes a lot, but I feel like that's when you sign a backup quarterback, when you add a backup quarterback, that's one of the reasons why that they get the job over someone else, is how much do you have to change in middle of the game, middle of the week, and all that. And again, I'm not saying he's exactly like Dak. He certainly isn't. Doesn't have that same moxie and all that leadership that we haven't seen it. But I do think that they could run the same type of things. You might see more deep balls. You might see less of the movement around. Maybe see more running games. But, you know, Brian, I don't think they have to change a lot. That's not saying that they're the same. I just think that their styles are going to be some that Kellen's not going to switch it up too much.
This staff has seen him win an NFL game, go in a tough environment in Minnesota and win. Now, defense played well. Vikings made some mistakes. But you did find a way to win a game. Yep. It's not like that they're having to go from – it's not Tyler Smith where you don't know anything about what – you know, with Tyler Smith, you're like, man, we're going to put him at left tackle and we're going to – we think he can do the job. They've seen this guy do the job. And so now you start to tailor the game plan. You know, let's be honest, too. There were a lot of times in training camp this year we saw all the work he got. We saw the games he played. We saw his deficiencies. We saw the things he did well. So, yeah, I think that to me that's not flying blind. It's you have a little bit of a base to work from. And the fact that you did have some success running the football against a team that is pretty good against the run. And the Bengals, when we get into it, will play the run pretty well as well. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those things where it's like, you know, okay, we at least have something to work from, not just a blank canvas to go from.
I'm just wondering how likely it is. Obviously, the game will have to be going bad for you to make a decision like that. But for us to, or for them to switch quarterbacks and like throw in Will Greer, because I'm still not over the fact that I feel like I did not get enough of Will Greer. And I know he had that setback, but I'm still having a hard time understanding why they seem to prefer Cooper Rush a lot more than
I think it was that
Greer.
Win in Minnesota.
So I think, you keep I think
it's experience.
Yeah,
it's experience.
Yeah. I was told, and I know you guys live in the building, so you guys are better suited than me. When I live with you guys in this building, you hear things and stuff. Well, the things I was hearing outside was that Will Greer had to go win this job. And then to your point, Will Greer missed the Denver work practice. It would have been a great opportunity for Will Greer to play in the Denver game when it was Cooper Rush, I mean, wasn't at his absolute best. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then they had the opportunity where they went against each other the following week against the Chargers. Say what you want. It wasn't like that Cooper Rush was bad in that game. I thought he played a little bit better. But everybody was telling me Will Greer has to go take this job. And the feeling was he didn't do that. And so that's why, and with the experience of also winning a game in Minnesota, I think that's the thing that's giving them the hope that they've got the right guy for the job.
Well, I know it's going to be Cooper Rush for this game, but in my head, I'm just wondering how bad does he need to get for us to even see them give Will a chance.
Did you hear Jerry Jones' answer the other day? I thought it was interesting the fact that he never said Cooper Rush alone. He said they have experience. We're going to stick with them, him and Will Greer. We're going to see what they can do, and they give us a better chance than going to sign someone right now. They. So I don't think the leash is that long. I don't believe so.
But I will say this. I think what I take from that is – they would have to get through both of those and both of them not be capable for them to go outside. Yeah. Not necessarily saying that they would have necessarily even a quick pull on Cooper if he doesn't play well, but I do think that, like, the way they're looking at it is we got two guys we would go through before we would get to
coming back. No, but I think the hurt point is that, okay, how close is this between Rush and Greer? It was really close to the very end. And so they're both still
I would
here.
Prefer Will Greer myself because I think you could do more. I said it the other day on our show. I think you could do more with him. But when you start to talk about the coaches that I've ever been around in my life, they don't like the unknown. That's the problem that coaches run into. Don't give me – they had to play unknown at left tackle the other day. I mean, they felt like the scouting department said, hey, this kid can play. You know, this is why we drafted him. You know, they didn't even give him any reps at left tackle. Mm-hmm. You know, that's coaches. Like, well, let's not burden him. We heard what they did with Tolbert. You know, Mike came out today to tell you about Tolbert got too much for him. You know, maybe they were worried about that with Tyler and not giving him too much. But that's the thing about it. Coaches will always go with the known before they go with the unknown, especially at that position.
You mentioned Jalen Tolbert. What do we hear from Coach today about Jalen Tolbert and kind of where he is?
It's so funny because I was just talking about this right before the show. It always comes down to the same thing. You get drafted and you make the team because you're a good, flashy, sure-handed receiver. You get on the field because you can go and tackle someone. That's what happens at backup wide receiver. That's why Sam Hurd made it over Miles Austin for so long until Miles Austin was able to show he was a receiver. These fourth and fifth receiver spots comes down to special teams. They tried to get Jalen Tolbert to do all these things like they did with CD. Cool. Then he got hurt. And then what he's not doing in all of that is working with special teams. And in the meantime, Dennis Houston, Simi Fehoko, they pass him there. And trust me, if it was all the same on special teams, Jalen Tolbert is going to play 100% because they want to see what he can do at receiver.
Does that also, though, make you say, like, if you flip that, that means he wasn't good enough at receiver to where he was clearly better than them in a situation where they needed more production at wide receiver?
Yeah, but, I mean, do you watch South Alabama games? I didn't, but I'll tell you this.
Brian did.
Well, he did, and what he saw was him making a lot of catches.
He did.
He probably didn't see him as the gunner down there, and he was their stud. He was their ace. It happens with a lot of rookies. They have to do that. I bet Fehoko did it at Stanford. I bet he did some of that early on, and maybe Dennis Houston, too. So it's – he's got to get up to speed to get into the game. How can you get these guys in the game for special teams?
All right. The other thing I thought was interesting that Mike brought up, and this is kind of a bigger question of not just this week, because obviously there's so much that went wrong in that game. And then on top of that, you lose your starting quarterback. So there are concerns, I think, from a fan standpoint of what is the mood of this team? Like, are they as down as fans are? Are they as down as the rest of the Cowboys nation seems to be right now? Because it's like you didn't see anything good and you lost your quarterback. What would you say is the mood of this team? If you've been in the locker room, you guys have been around this team. What would you say is the mood right now of this team?
I was going to let you go with that.
You don't want to address that?
No, I don't mind. I just don't.
I feel like, you know, to me, when you look, it's tough, especially when you lose a key player so early. I mean, imagine losing Micah Parsons. Allow you know, and I'm just saying that. I'm just saying, though, that, you know, the mood is not good, especially veteran players. Veteran players, you know, initially, they're not going to show it, but deep down inside, they don't have that many campaigns. You know, they don't have many left. And when you start to think, and this is a reasonably young team, and maybe a young team to the point where they're like, well, we just got to go play.
Yeah.
We just got to play. Where veteran players are thinking like, damn, I worked my ass off to get to this point. And then all, like a Noah Brown. Mm-hmm. You know, Noah Brown's sitting there. He goes, I played 6 years here. I'm getting a chance to play wide receiver. And damn, Cooper Rush is my guy. You know, I mean, and he's not saying that, but you know inside – there's guys, you know, Ezekiel is probably thinking, well, we don't have Dak. Man, I'm going to get to run the ball more now. So his mood probably improves because he's thinking like, you know, we're going to have to, I'm going to have to shoulder this thing for this offense. You know, young players, they just, you know, how about young players? Like, I remember when Tristan Hill came here, he didn't know they had inactives. Like, whoa, I don't play. I don't dress. What?
Yeah.
You know, young players don't know the difference. Veteran players are thinking that, man, this might be an opportunity that we lost here for a few games. You know, the fact that it's not season ending, I think everybody's like, okay, he's going to come back. But if you lose a guy for the year, that's a whole different story right there, mood-wise.
Yeah, I think, you know, I also think it's an opportunity to lock in a little bit more during the week. You know, that everybody got hit in the face on this one. I mean, they just weren't expecting that type of game. And so I've seen it go both ways. I know we were talking about it right before the show that, you know, I think fans would be surprised to know how players react towards games, wins, and losses. We've seen it over the years. We've seen it. We've been on the planes. We've all been on the charters. And you know, the fans carry with it all week. That's all they've got. That's all their lasting memory is 19-3, and the Cowboys didn't even score a touchdown or even get in the red zone.
And the quarterback's gone.
And the quarterback is now hurt. And the leading tackler from last year is all hurt. So, you know, they've moved on. They're processing. They're looking at the Bengals. And I think that's the mindset of it. And you don't get too high. You don't get too low.
Especially this point in the season.
Yeah, the players never get as high as the fans do. And they don't get as low as the fans do either. And that's that's probably a good thing. You know, we've all been on the flights back and after a bad game, and you're like, did they win? It just doesn't sound like a loss. Doesn't sound like a really bad loss to Buffalo. Which that's
the last one I ever went on.
That's your last one?
That was it.
And it was the worst one.
By far.
Was that why you sent me the message, like, I don't want to do this travel thing
I almost
anymore.
Quit on you that day.
You were like, I don't want to do this
you
travel
either find
thing
something
anymore.
Else for me to do or I quit.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm good. Yeah. I don't want to travel
And I give you credit. He's like,
I don't want to do this.
You call my bluff.
He's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
It was absolutely, from start to finish, the worst road trip that we've ever been on.
It was.
It drove me
a different direction.
Yeah.
I completely
agree. nine-hour flight home.
Yeah.
Did we go to Houston?
Yeah,
I don't know where we all went.
The minute they opened that door, Rob Phillips and I almost both jumped off the plane.
That's it. I'll find my own way
home. We were going to jump from the plane onto the ground and leave is what we were going to do. We were not going
that
through
was a horrible
that.
Trip.
I still can't get over one point that I turn and look at Rob. And Rob has his hair just all the way up, like a mess.
Rob
like,
must
just
punch
so you guys know,
Mickey.
Just so you know, like Rob hates flying anyway.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Rob is a
Rob and
he
I both.
Does not like to be on a plane.
No.
Brian too. But when you talk about now a flight that just keeps going and
we
won't
kept
stop,
circling. It was
we
weather.
Flew,
we kept,
it was just too much.
And we flew through a tornado.
Yeah. And Mickey was just looking out the window, and Mickey was like, "There's the moon again." And I thought Rob was gonna punch him. Rob was like, "Mickey, we're gonna fight." Yeah.
Yeah, but it is true. We've all seen it. There have been probably a handful of times I've seen the team really, really upset after a loss. Typically, that happens when the season's over. Like, they have a loss that – a playoff-type loss.
Yeah.
The season's now done, the finality of it, and then you see some more of that emotion. But a lot of times, like you said, when you're in season, you're a professional. Yeah. You got
to
stay even. You
have to. I'm failing you guys because I feel like I have a good sensor for vibes and things like that. I haven't been to the locker room, not even after the game. I've been so busy, like, having to shoot things, and the time hasn't worked out. But I'm going to have to go in there. But something that got me thinking on my – I don't know why, but it popped into my head on my way in as I was driving. I'm thinking, man, I don't think one game is going to do it for you. But what if, let's say, it kind of keeps going similar to what we saw. And on the defense starts getting, like, pissed off at your own team, at your own offense.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, we're killing ourselves out there. So I got to think, I'm like, how would that change the dynamic, the mood in the locker room, how this team goes around? Because if you do that more than one game, two game, now three games, like, dude, we're killing ourselves out there. Like, freaking do something.
Yeah, that's the I think that you have to worry about a locker room splintering that way because what happens is you get a turnover on the 50-yard line and then you get 3 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're like, okay, we gave you a chance, good field position, get back in the game. go score a touchdown, get us back in the game, and then we'll get another stop and then go drive it and get it again. I think, you know, if you have a young locker room, I think that's a huge, huge problem. But if you have veteran guys that kind of try and hold everybody together, I think that's the one thing. Yeah, I think you got enough guys. I think you guys got like Curse and people like that. You know, he's not a really old guy, but he's a highly respected guy in that room. You know, and I think that that's one of those things.
Should have heard him in the locker room yesterday.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
There was a battle going on. It was a very intense argument, and I think it started because is yellow Gatorade green Gatorade?
Yeah.
That's how it started.
Yeah.
And then it got into
priorities.
Amari Cooper's stats or something like that. But Mukwamu. And Jalen and Curse and yeah. I mean they were, you thought there was a fight, but I mean there really wasn't. But like
yeah.
he was very like vocal, and you know, you're just like don't hop around on that knee, you know, like
yeah.
you're gonna be up. And well, Mukwamu was like going at him. I'm like, you should be happy, you're getting to play.
Yeah.
I think he's getting to play. I don't know who's gonna play at safety there.
Can I circle back a thing? I think when I worked with you guys in DallasCowboys.com, we took the losses worse than anybody here because it was important to us. It was important to our content. It was important yeah. to how we did our jobs. You know, when you live in this building, it's different. It really is. Fans act like, oh, you guys don't care. You don't this. No, you really do care because it's important. You know, it's not you're looking for the easy way. But, you know, when you have to cover a team that struggles, it's no fun. It's no fun at all. And, you know, I've learned that over the years working with you guys. It's tough. And so, you know, when you start to talk about, well, you guys don't care, that players don't care, this, that, and the other. No, there's people that care. There's people in this organization that care about it. You know, it's and that's the thing. Sometimes I wish the players cared more than us, you know. And that's the thing I always remember working here, that, you know, this is killing me right now. Getting on this airplane and knowing that I have to write about this or talk about this, you know, and you guys are doing this or that and the other in the back. That's the crap that bothered me the most about that.
Yeah. Let's also be honest, though. It's not just our group. It's throughout our building. I know I was in some meetings Monday, and almost every meeting I was in, and I'm on a lot of the business-type meetings. A lot of meetings I was in, everybody had the mood of, oh, gosh, man. You know, taking it like
– it's tough.
And so – but I think the difference is for players, they don't have that luxury, if you want to call it that.
Right.
Like, they have to be on to the next thing because you can't let one loss turn into two, right, because your attitude isn't right.
It reminded me of what Dan Bailey always would say about making or missing kicks. He's like, when you miss a kick, everyone asks you about it, and you're like, you can't worry about it. You got to focus on the next one. He would always talk about when you make a 53-yard field goal to win the game, you can't worry about that. You can't even think about that. You got to go to the next one because this extra point is coming.
Yeah.
So the high and the low, you have to stay in the middle.
Right.
So right now, we're all feeling it because it feels like you're 0-4, and it feels because you lost three things. You lost one of your best defensive players, your leader at quarterback, and the game, and there was no hope. Even it was close. You said it sounded like 100-3.
Yeah,
it looked like it.
Yeah, when it was 12-3, I'm thinking and sitting in my seat, I'm going, it might as well be 100-3.
Yeah,
because I just didn't feel like it was gonna. Nothing was gonna change.
And two scores.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, that you get a turnover, and then after that, I go, they're not moving the ball today. This is just not going to happen.
And they tried everything.
Yeah.
And it just, nothing worked.
Nothing worked.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, let's jump into Cincinnati versus Dallas. We'll talk about the Cincinnati defense versus the Cowboys offense. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
The Cowboys way. where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020, Bank of America Corporation.
Lil' Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
Essilor Lenses will help you see every exciting play, both on and off the field. Book an appointment at your local Essilor experts. Find the perfect lens for you. See more, do more, Essilor.
Welcome back. Second segment of the break, live from SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. The segment brought to you by Blockchain.com. Let's talk Cincinnati defense versus Dallas offense. Brian, we will start with you. Give us what this Cincinnati defense does best.
What they do best is, I feel like they're, and Mike McCarthy mentioned it this morning in the press conference that he had, was their ability to stay after their pass rush. It really starts with Trey Hendrickson up there, who they got from the Saints. He's going to primarily line up on Tyler Smith in this football game. He's a right edge rusher defensively, left side for your offense to have to deal with. They're good off the edge. Sam Hubbard on the other side, I think, is a quality pass rusher, but he's not to the level of what Hendrickson does there. I think up front in the front seven, they're pretty good because they spend a lot of money on this DJ Reader, who they got from Houston as a nose, and then BJ Hill, who they traded for with the Giants. And then Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt are two really good linebackers. Not to the level of what we saw last week with Tampa, but I think it's going to, if it turns into you have to throw the ball a bunch in this game, then the key is going to be able to stop Hendrickson. You just can't let him be a guy that's constantly rushing the passer and causing problems in the pocket.
I thought you were just at some point going to say Geno Atkins because he's been there for so long. Yeah.
He's not there anymore.
I don't know. I don't think he's in the league.
He's not.
That was the most quiet exit for a really good player I've ever seen.
He was. Anytime you watch Cincinnati tape, and we didn't have to do it all that much, but Geno was the guy.
Loved watching him play.
There was a time there where their front four in Cincinnati, and they weren't winning games, but they had one of the best front fours on defense, and they just couldn't put it together. But, yeah, this is a different group. It's a secondary, though, real quick. That we're kind of familiar with the players. Eli Apple, we're familiar
Cheeto.
With back in the day, and then Cheeto on the other side. They're going to flop sides, guys, on you. So it's not. I didn't see
following this. Receivers or just like they just line it, up in different
like,
places based
it,
on.
It's different. It's different. It wasn't. Didn't appear to be star coverage. It appeared to be whether you're a what they call a boundary corner, which uses the sideline short side, or then a field corner, which is so they were kind of flipping back and forth on that. Von Bell and Jesse Bates, both are really
good safeties. Yeah.
Good safeties. So, the corners we have familiarity with and the front seven, I feel like, is not as good as Tampa's, but they do have a quality pass rusher in Hendrickson.
All right, so tell me where they're vulnerable. Where can you get them?
Well, I'm going to try and attack. I think that it's going to be running the football, you know, and the Steelers didn't have great success doing that because these guys, they do have some size, they do have some length and the ability. I'd like to believe, though, that you can get guys up on these linebackers. So secure the front and then try and get their guys up on those linebackers and see, you know, the Cowboys had a little success with the ball off the edge. I think that's something that I would continue on. This defense, I think you can, if you had to run it inside, you could. But the one spot I'm looking at is Eli Apple there at corner. And I'm going to try and run it first. I'm going to try and get some consistency there. And then I'm going to go after Eli Apple, the corner here, because I think that Cheeto, the one thing he is that he's playing with, to me, a lot better awareness when you watch him. And, you know, remember with the Cowboys, he was having trouble at times finding the ball. Mm-hmm. Well, he's playing with a lot better awareness. And I don't know if Eli Apple always does that on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Cheeto, what I remember a lot is that he, you know, athletically, he was there. He was there.
He was always
in
there.
Coverage. He doesn't always make the play. He
finish.
Seems like, it yeah. seems like they make the catches over him. You know, if you're sitting there at Bengals break or talking Bengals or whatever they've got over there, I'm sure they have some.
Girls talk.
Yeah.
Gal
yeah,
talk.
Hanging with the Bengals. I think that... I think they're looking at it going, well, you know what? I mean, who scares you over there? Noah Brown? I mean, yeah. CD? I mean, they don't scare you. Just like you could say, well, this corners don't really scare you, but like who you bring into yeah. the party. So I think that's going to be an interesting battle of guys. You know, they got a couple guys at corner and they got guys at receiver here. CD hasn't proven that he's really way above that. So that's going to be a matchup to me is just how yeah. who gets the upper hand
if,
there.
You know, if Smith, Tyler Smith holds up against Hendrickson, you know, I think that Cooper Rush can find some spaces to throw balls. And the problem is those safeties we mentioned, they'll cover your tight ends. So, you know, Von Bell on Schultz will be a really yeah. good matchup. So I think that if you're going to say, well, just be comfortable and throw the ball to Dalton Schultz, like Ambar was talking last week and against the Bucks, well, who are you going to throw to if they take this guy away? And then we start talking about Schultz. I kind of feel like, though, that the Bengals are a little bit better cover guys on your tight end than other teams that you're going to face this year.
Well, how does that look for CeeDee? That's what I'm really interested in about, just like that kind of matchup. Is this another game? Because we didn't really need CeeDee to step up. And we keep talking about the Cowboys yeah. having to rely on the run and go that route, but we know they can't be one-dimensional either.
As far as
the passing game...
I think they're going to have to run more, but your passing game is absolutely right. That's why, to me, I...
Can they make CeeDee struggle again?
I don't see Apple doing it. I think Cheeto could be more physical than Apple can in this game. So what I'm going to do, Mike Hilton plays as their nickel. I'm not playing CeeDee outside very much here. I'm going to put him in the slot, and I'm going to let Mike Hilton, who they got from Pittsburgh, I'm going to let him be the guy that's going to try and take CeeDee. You know, and I think with CeeDee, you know, it's about trying to get him the ball quick. It's not to me about the long developing routes and stuff where if it's behind him a little bit, I think that's the struggle for CeeDee now. We talk about catch radius all the time. And I think that that's been a little bit of a problem for him, especially behind him. So if it's out of the slot, that's a little bit quicker pass. Maybe that's the way you kind of get him going in this game.
Yeah, for me, and I know I'm not trying to trick it up too much, but you sort of have to. I mean, you're showing them Cooper Rush. You see a little bit of him on tape, but they've got to get they need playmakers. They need guys. Yeah. This is a week for me. I've got to use Turpin. I got to use him on the outside. I got to use him as a decoy at times too, if I need to. With just that speed, I need to throw it deep to him. I need to show those safeties. This is what we've got. He may not catch it. He may be incomplete, maybe intercepted. But I need to show his speed out there, both north and south, east and west. That's something that you have in your bag, and he's got to be ready because you're going to need to pull out all the stops.
Who do y'all feel that Cooper Rush has like a better type of chemistry with in the receiving group?
Noah Brown.
I was about to say Noah Brown.
Yes. Noah Brown.
For years.
Well, what happens is, and this is why, really, to be honest with you, they run scout team together.
Mm-hmm.
They've always, you know, for six, well, as long as Cooper Rush has been here, they run plays together. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like when you watch Joe Burrow throw the ball to Jamar Chase and that last play that got the game into overtime.
Not exactly the same.
Well, no, but the,
I know what you're saying.
But the same with the same with
I take them, but
yeah, no, he knew where Chase was going to break at the pylon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's thrown that ball at LSU. I've seen it a million times with my own eyes. Sometimes you don't even have to call it. You call a play and you know it. Okay. I know what you're going to do. I'm going to put the ball right at that pylon. I think that's the way with Noah Brown. I think Simi Fehoko. Guys like that have kind of always kind of worked with Cooper Rush, there's that little bit of that chemistry with.
Let's also remember this, and I know Garrett Gilbert actually took most of the snaps last year in training camp, but Rush got some as well towards the end. But because, you know, Dak missed a lot with the shoulder, and CD had a hell of a camp. You know, it was some Gilbert, it was also some Rush. So it's not like it's just those. I mean, you're right, during the season, the scout team. But I do think that you know, CD's had some luck with, I mean, some success with these guys as well. So he's been in all kinds of levels, you know, starting some games, practicing. I think he knows pretty much all of these receivers pretty well, but definitely Noah
But you know
Brown.
You always have as a quarterback, like, kind of your guy that you connect with. For example, guys that Cedric Wilson with Dak, they were on the same page most of the time. So I was wondering kind of, okay, who might be that player? And if it's Noah Brown, I mean, he might be having a better game this week.
Well, Noah Brown had good separation. And that we talked about, if you believe in the metrics and stuff, him and Simi both had separation. And I talked about the deep over that could have been a huge play that Dak, you know, went another direction to. You know, maybe Cooper Rush gets, you know, maybe that's something he knows when he sees the coverage. It's like, okay, I'm going to have this opportunity. The thing you're not going to have with Cooper Rush, I don't think, is the pocket mobility. They've got to find a way to get the ball out quick and make his decision-making easy for him. And I mean, not easy like, oh, dumb it down, but like, hey, this coverage, you got to go here. This coverage, you got to go here. You know, that's what they've got to kind of try and do, because if him holding the ball with this offensive line, it could be a little bit of a problem.
One thing about Jalen Tolbert, if he understood that he needs 2 feet down, he catches a touchdown in against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. That was from Rush. You know, that was him in the back of the end zone. I'm gonna say another difference between Cooper Rush and Dak. When a guy is rushing off the edge and he gets his big hand on Dak's shoulder, that's, you need more than that. He's not mm-hmm. down yet. He says, "Get off me." You know, get off me.
I've said that a lot.
Yeah, right. No, there's been a lot of that. But, you know, he still makes the play. With Rush, it's sack. Yeah. I think, I mean, that's the problem. I don't think he's really going to be like.
What about his mental side of things? Do you feel that he's the type of player that once that happens, gets knocked down to the ground, he can get up and kind of brush it up?
You know, the first quarter and a half of Minnesota was terrible.
Yeah.
It was not looking good. He ends up with 375 yards. They have 400-something yards of offense. He drives down to win the game. He needed a big play by Cedric Wilson to kind of weave through and get the touchdown, get back in it. Like you said, and I wrote this yesterday, Micah Parsons had his best game of his career that game. The defense carried him to the point where it got comfortable, and he went down there and won the game. You know, he threw the ball to Amari Cooper, touchdown right in front of me. Still mad I didn't get the video of that, but that's okay. So. Storage was full. Seriously, had it hit.
That sucks.
No, I hit it, and it just 1 second, and as that storage is full, and the pass comes right at me. You go look at it. I'm sitting there. I'm as calm as you could be, but I'm just inside like, hell yeah. Way to go, Coop. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, you needed me down there with you, just MFing the fans.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing, Brian. You'd give it to him. Like, you were not,
that's
not bashful about
that. 10 years ago on that Wednesday night game in 2012, when Kevin Ogletree caught that pass to win the game. That was your first game with us. That is going to be my favorite story. I can't even tell it all the way.
No, yeah, you can't tell it as it needs to be told.
As it needs to be told.
You can't do it on the air.
Brian, let him know. Yeah.
I'll let him know Dallas won that game. Didn't I?
Yes, you did. Yeah, you did. That was.
There was a game in Cincinnati, the one with the Jerry Brown game, where we all, and mm-hmm. I remember, you know, what a difficult time it was. Talk about getting on a flight. Oof. How difficult, and they put us all on the tarmac and brought us all on. And to Derek's credit, he knew exactly what was going on and trying to get a plan together for that. And I just remember we kicked the game-winning field goal. Remember they drove the ball. Yeah. It was just DeMarco Murray, I think, made a hand on the ground.
Dove
for a first down. They kicked the game-winning field goal. I was standing under the goalpost when I turned to the Cincinnati fans, and I MF'd every one of those. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was, boy, what an emotional game.
That was very emotional. That was very emotional. Maybe one of the hardest road trips I think I've ever been on.
Yeah.
Outside of the Buffalo trip coming.
Yeah, and if
that was a disaster.
Right. And it's been 10 years, so we were just kind of talking about it. That was the game. If you don't know, the practice squad player, Jerry Brown, was
tragically
killed. Yeah, tragically killed in a car wreck, and Josh Brent was involved there, and it was just a lot of uncertainty. Didn't know what was happening, and but they had his jersey.
Your boss knew what was going on. Yeah. He was formulating a plan.
The thing about it was, actually, Nick was the one that called me. I was on the way to the airport.
You weren't on the plane yet.
He was not on the plane. He was doing something. And you called me and said, "Hey, man, this is not good."
Yeah.
And so we start kind of putting the pieces together and having to figure out how we're going to handle it. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man. Those are the kind of things that are so far out unexpected.
Yeah.
You're dealing with young people, right?
Yeah.
And so anytime you're dealing with death with young people, that's very difficult to wrap your mind around.
Yeah, you weren't on the plane yet. That's true. Yeah,
I didn't. I flew up separately that day. Yeah. I had a funeral that day, but I remember kind of hearing about it, and it was crazy.
Maybe the greatest win, and I know I have always been on Jason Garrett's back about things, but maybe the greatest coaching job he ever did that day. Yeah, that team had no business winning that football
game. His speech to the team in the locker room will give you chills.
Oh, it really
will. I don't know if we've put it out. I think it was on his documentary. I think we showed that. It was really, really good because that's one of his strengths. He can do that, and he can lead them. And obviously, we're getting away from here. And the Bengals. I'll say this: that was 10 years ago. We played the Bengals 2020.
Yeah,
I was there just a couple years ago. That's nothing close to this team. You know, they didn't have Burrow that day.
They had a backup quarterback that
day,
too.
They flipped that roster. I mean, that's a different team.
I think Brandon Allen.
Brandon Allen started that game. Had some fumbles in the game.
Oh, God, yeah.
One of the running backs fumbled three times
that game. But I remember, T. Higgins had a couple of plays late in the game. And it's like,
you don't need him playing this
game. Yeah, they got some skill players. And then since then, they've added Burrow.
Chase.
Burrow was back on the team. Back from the injury, and Chase, and I don't think Mixon was playing that game. I don't remember.
This offensive line's been remade for them a little bit, so yeah, there's a lot of new pieces, and it's the NFL, right? Changes a lot in a short period of time.
I like how Jerry on the radio the other day he wasn't going to say anything about Lyle Collins. He's like, "I watched the game. You probably did too. You can figure out how it went." He wasn't going to say it, but it was like,
he's making it clear.
He said it without saying it. Trayvon Williams was that
for the Bengals?
Yeah, I think it was a game. I remember it was just turnover after turnover.
Oh, they had about five turnovers in the game.
Bad.
Yeah.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our final break, and then we're going to come back for like 4 minutes and give you guys kind of some closing thoughts on the Cincinnati defense versus the Dallas offense. We'll do it when we come right back. It's DallasCowboys.com radio.
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? Have you been treating it well? Has it been going places? If not, then it's about time you start using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your butt tickets to live events. Just ask the thousands of other butts who have rated it the number one ticketing app. So what are you waiting for? Download the app now or visit SeatGeek.com to get tickets to sports, concerts, and live events and make your butt happy. SeatGeek. Get your seat in a seat.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back to the break.
Join the former NFL players for our first game day minicamp presented by Invisalign. You can bring your kids to the Ford Center October 2nd from 11:30 to 3:30. You can watch the Cowboys take on the Commanders game from your favorite restaurant at the Star District.
Yeah, you can.
Register your footballer for camp. Visit DallasCowboys.com/academy.
Yeah, speaking of camps, our boy Danny McCray, who leads the camps here at the Cowboys, won the challenge on, I guess it's on CBS. He was awarded the winner, so a lot of love.
Guess I need to watch that tonight.
Does that mean he still works for the camps, or does he just like peace out? What do you win for that? Millions?
I think it's 250,000. Is it? I thought it was 500,000.
They split it between the guy and the girl. Okay. 250 each.
Is that like the Great Race or whatever?
Danny McCray no longer runs the camps for us. And job opening.
Did Derek just spoil what we were going to watch tonight?
Derek, did you spoil it?
No. Yeah, I definitely didn't spoil it for, like, if you watched it live last night, you knew.
I didn't watch it live last night.
I'm just saying.
But what if you taped it?
I know. I hate being that guy, too, because I watch some of those shows, and I don't hate when people tell me stuff like that. So
maybe we should
talk. Yeah, my bad. I'm so sorry. I was just happy for Danny, so my bad. I probably should.
I kind of figured they were going to bring it up in the podcast in about 3 hours from now.
Yeah, Danny, I would assume so.
Danny's going to go, I
didn't watch it last night, but I plan on watching it at some point. So
he has been kind of smiling a lot more lately.
Yeah.
Despite congrats LSU to him. Losing. Yeah. He's been in a good mood.
Now he's going to go for the world championship of the challenge now.
All right. Let's see how that goes. It's awesome. All right, let's get back in. We got a couple more things I wanted to hit real quick. Brian, I was interested when you were talking about their pass rush. And you talked about Hendrickson, what he can bring. But last week they had five quarterback hits, one sack.
Yeah.
And the thought I had was, going back to what Dallas did last week, I thought the times when they ended up in a lot of trouble last week appeared to be situations where Tampa decided they were going to blitz. They were going to send that extra guy.
Right.
So I wanted to know, does Cincinnati tend to do that more, or are they just a base, we're going to send four guys, and we think we can beat you, our guys, against your guys?
Yeah, if they're going to rush somebody, it's going to be Logan Wilson, who they drafted in the third round in 2020. And he's a nice player. Jermaine Pratt, the other linebacker, is more the run stopper kind of a player they have with that. So if you're going to get a blitzer, what you got to figure out too, guys, is that teams go back and look at what other teams had success with. And like what Derek was talking about there, if all of a sudden if they're on offense, get ready for the ball to go wide. If they're on defense, get ready for them bringing the blitzer. And if the extra blitzer is going to come, it's likely going to be Logan Wilson, the Will linebacker here. But I'd also be mindful of – I'm interested to see what they would do with Bell in coverage. I think they've got to find a way to take Bell or Bates and put him on Schultz and take him out. And then maybe you see one of the other safeties come as a rusher. But if they're going to rush you, it's going to be number 55, Logan Wilson.
All right.
To that point, too, I mean, I think this might be a game. And I'm interested to see what the Cowboys do with Tony Pollard.
Pollard?
Well, the pass blocking and Tony Pollard. I mean, I think this needs to go back to Zeke's the starter. And when he needs a break, here comes Pollard. He can do some stuff. I'm not saying completely abandon all the receiver stuff like that, but they got to be careful with it, especially with Cooper Rush. He's going to need he can't have, Tony Pollard running into him because he's getting driven back like that. So I think pass protection is even more important than it was even before. So I'm curious to see what Pollard's role will be.
And this is kind of you need it because of the issues that you have in the O-line. So it's really helpful when you have Ezekiel Elliott helping you block in certain occasions. But I wonder if he would be able to run much better if he was taking away some of those responsibilities. Because it does wear you down a little bit.
Sure,
I mean, that takes a lot of strength.
It absolutely
and he takes
does.
Some hits that he can take, but you see him sometimes even bouncing back and things like that. So you know it affects him. And it just, I don't know why, I just thought of that, of like, if he didn't have to do so much of that, not that he does it all the time either, but if that was taking a step back, how much better would he be able to run the ball?
Well, and it's a great point and a great observation on your part. How about throw him the ball? How about instead of like blocking, okay, mm-hmm. just swing it and flip it to him? And, you know, I'm not talking about screens and stuff, but him, Pollard, just if they're going to blitz you, just throw it out the back door, you know, with the, you know, and that way all of a sudden these teams are like, uh-oh, we can't blitz this guy. We can't because they're going to get their backs out in routes, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, that's the number one thing. When teams are blitzing you, it's like, okay, we're going to make you block. We're going to make you block. We're going to make you block. Throw the ball in the swing. I mean, you know, if you throw the wheel routes or things like that, that you can kind of get them out in the space and just dump them the ball and let them go, then teams aren't going to be interested in blitzing you so much if you're, you know, that blitzer's responsible for the back.
Remember the Eagles back in the day when they had Brian Westbrook?
Brian Westbrook.
But you could never blitz him.
Never
because
could.
They would just throw it over the top and then Westbrook catches. He catches 14 passes for 70 yards. Yeah. But, you're right about that.
Yeah.
All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to wrap this thing up, let you guys know who we think is going to win this game, Sunday Cowboys versus Bengals. Till then, for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!